Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh my goodness, Audrey, I can't believe it. It's like, it's Wednesday night again, and I'm like, let's get back in the studio. In the Huntington Bank studio. Bring in the show. I love hanging out with Huntington Bank, man. They really are a juice sometimes. Like, they're the ones that just give us that extra pep, that extra pop.
I know. When are we going? When are we going in the neighborhoods next?
Very soon, to be announced shortly, because good. Spring is right around the corner.
I know.
Man.
It's always a ton of fun when we go in the neighborhoods.
We need a van.
Well, I want to talk to people on the streets next time. I've always wanted to do that.
You've been saying that. You know why? I have an aversion to that.
Why?
And this goes back to my news reporter days. So back when I was a reporter at the Sewickley Herald, we had this feature in every weekly edition we did called Man on the Street. And they would send me out to the Kmart near Robinson Town Center. And we'd have a question of the week, like whatever was happening in the news that day. Like, what do you think of Bill Clinton doing whatever it was at the time? And I would have to find four people to agree to answer the question and have their picture taken at the same time. And it was harrowing. And especially in the wintertime, we'd be standing out there, like tapping people on the shoulders, asking them. And people, it was like 1 in 10 people.
Really?
Would actually do
Most
it.
Most people said no, no, no?
No, they were like, leave me alone. Like, especially when you have a photographer hanging out with you. So this whole, like, when you're in the public, like, trying to ask people what's up, like, I get this weird – it was traumatic for a while. Because I mean, it was just a pain in the butt. Like, it was harrowing. But anyhow, I do like the way you think about that, because I think it'd be kind of cool if we could actually see what's going on out in the general population in Pittsburgh.
Listen, 10 years ago – I would say people don't know that there's tech and innovation going on in Pittsburgh. I would go to my neighborhood and talk to people, and they'd go, huh?
Huh?
You do what?
You do
there's
what?
Hardly any of those jobs.
You do what?
All the kids have left. All my kids have left. They're not back here. How could there really be jobs there?
Right.
And now that conversation has changed.
It's craziness.
And I like to think that we had a hand in that.
Absolutely, man. Like 100%. And that's, maybe we should try that out. Maybe we'll, on the way over to a tech vibe neighborhood tour.
Okay.
We would be able to hang out. Because I think last time we were actually in East Liberty. I think the last time we were there. Oh, actually, no. We were up north.
No, we went up north.
Remember
right?
that? We got our passport stamped.
We did.
Because it requires a passport to get into Cranberry.
And it was great. The people at Huntington Bank there were lovely.
It was fun.
It was great.
Yeah, so it's that time. Once the weather starts breaking and we get into spring, we're going to set up some of those.
It's only like
locations.
8 weeks away.
It's not that far off. It's going to happen.
Eight weekends. That's what I want you to think about.
Never thought about that way.
Yes. Like eight weekends.
I digress. Anyhow, so Audrey, a couple weeks ago, we were putting the finishing touches on your latest president's note in the current issue of TEQ magazine. And I've really been pushing you to kind of really focus on talent stuff. Because as we've always discussed on the show, I mean, any company that stops by our show, they always talk about how they're in hiring mode, right?
Right. We hear it all the time. Every single company.
Exactly. So we know that talent is paramount to this region. Without it, we're not going anywhere.
We also know that over the last 20 years, it'll be 20 years, that we've lost in Allegheny County about 70,000 people.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
See, we can't grow when losing 70,000
people. Right. And so some people might not think that that's a big number. 70,000 people to our region, that's a big number.
If we had 70,000 more people that are ready to jump in on some tech side of things, we'd be like...
It's not even just tech, Jonathan. It's people who are all downstream and upstream.
Of course.
That are providing services, that are actually paying taxes, that are actually part of what's happening here.
Absolutely.
All across the different market sectors, up and down the different kinds of jobs.
Absolutely. And that's why it's like, we need people. And that's why I've been pushing you to say we need to keep these conversations going, because it's not one strategy. It's not a 10-year thing, but it's this ongoing iteration of what we're doing. And you've been writing a lot about this. Like, I want to honestly say I think you're probably one of the few kind of like regional stakeholders here that's really stepping on
this.
Well,
we can't do our job. We can't. If you think about the goal of our organization and the mission is to make sure that this piece of the world is the best place for people to do business in tech and innovation. Well, guess what? We can't be shrinking.
Exactly.
And we have to figure out why. And we have to realize that the times have changed. So what are some of the things that have resonated with you that you think I need to sort of get on my platform for?
First and foremost, more people coming to Pittsburgh from all types of backgrounds.
So how about us being known as a destination, like a tourist destination?
That sounds really strange, but you're exactly correct on this, right? Because that's what's going to get people saying, I need to be here, right? But what would it be in Pittsburgh that would attract people, other than like the Steelers, which of course people come to Pittsburgh to see a Steelers game in the fall and the early winter and stuff like that. But, you know, Pittsburgh's
It's really big with beer. It's got to be really unique. So
what about beer? I mean, there's like so many breweries in Pittsburgh right now.
There's breweries everywhere.
True, but maybe ours are better. I don't know.
I'm not trying to, you know, as a...
I'm trying to think, like, what would someone do if you came here for, like, a long weekend or a week?
Well, you have to go to the Warhol Museum.
Of course.
Right? And you have to. And when you think about it, Warhol Museums have been around for only 25 years.
I know. I actually wrote a story about that in the Pitt News when it first opened. It's the first actual real feature story I ever wrote. It was about the Warhol Museum.
Right. Just so saying. Here we have the Warhol Museum. And so where are they headed to? I mean, there's some interesting things that I believe I've heard off the record that the Warhol Museum is thinking about.
How cool.
You know, what are some ways to build off of that?
Yeah.
What are the ways that as a community we can sort of interactively and materially get engaged with the museum because of the assets that they have? Andy would require that.
Exactly.
Andy would require that. And so, you know, what else? Like when I bring people in from out of town – There was a time where I said, okay, there's not that many restaurants. Well, no, that's not the case anymore.
There's a lot of restaurants, and
there's a lot of interesting restaurants, and there's a lot of people experimenting. But I do sometimes lean backwards and say you need to taste a Permanu sandwich.
Really?
I do say that.
Wow. Just to get that kind of level set.
Well, and I say, like this is part of our history here. I don't know why I'm proud of that.
You know, it is cool. I'm proud of it, but there's a side of me that's like, A, my non-meat eating ways are like,
I don't eat meat.
Yeah.
I don't eat meat. I will eat an egg.
I'll eat the french fries on there.
I'll eat the bun. Jonathan, you eat eggs.
Yes.
Right. So why wouldn't you eat the egg slaw fry sandwich?
You just gave me a reason to go to Permanti's. I like this.
I love that.
Let's go. I'm hungry.
I eat that.
It's been a while.
And it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And it's covered in the best french fries ever.
Absolutely.
So when people say, I heard you put french fries on your salad, I'm like, no, we don't do that. Let's go to Permanti's.
Right.
Now, I know that that's not the same as it was 20 years ago, and there's a Permanti's on every corner now, and it's penetrated.
Yes.
But I like to go to the original one in the Strip like at 2 in the morning.
Even better yet.
Really, I like to do that because I feel like there's an authenticity
that's the grit of Pittsburgh, you're not going to see. I love it.
If you walk around just in Lawrenceville, which is also exploding.
Yeah.
And who would have thought there would be million-dollar houses in Lawrenceville?
It's insane.
We could have been so rich, Jonathan.
I don't want to think about it. I know people that bought real estate there 15 years ago, and they might as well be millionaires right now. I'll never be a real estate tycoon. But do you know who we have coming on the show today, Audrey, that I'm really excited about? And he's part of this. He started this. We have Tim Park stopping by today.
Founder of the Tech Council.
The original CEO of the Tech
Council.
Wow,
1982.
Yep,
83. He pulled people together and became, quote-unquote, incorporated in 1983.
Exactly. And he's looking at us at the door right now.
I know he is. We're going to have to get his butt in here.
I know. I'm just so excited because Tim's one of my favorite people. I've known him for 22-plus years.
And did you work for him?
I did not. I came in a couple years after he left, but got to work them through other iterations, which we'll talk about. But anyhow, he's kind of one of the people that started the Tech Council, which is part of the tech industry, which is why Lawrenceville's kicking butt, which is how we can kind of go on down the line and why we need people working here. And there's just too much fun stuff happening in Pittsburgh. We'll explore that tonight. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Tech Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Oh, my goodness. I think everybody listening to Tech Vibe Radio is in for a treat tonight. Audrey, you know, I was super pumped.
I know.
When I told you Tim Parks is stopping by to hang out with us.
I know. We were skipping through the office.
We were.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
We were.
Exactly. Skipping.
We think it's cool because, in case anyone doesn't know who's listening, Tim Parks was the original president and CEO of the Pittsburgh High Technology Council. From 1984 to, what, 1996.
Yeah.
Just in the formative years of Pittsburgh's tech industry and really
And when
that
things
voice.
Were really rough and tumble
when
here.
When things were rough and tumble. Yeah. People were still saying yins a lot back then.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and as part of our conversation, I mean, not only do we want to talk a little bit about memory lane, but we also want to talk about, obviously, you've done so much outside of the Tech Council, and also, most importantly, what you're currently doing with Life's Work, which we are just in awe with, because we think
what
your mission with that, we think, is just awesome, because you're now connecting tech companies to people that, you know, that can get some really gainful employment and bring these worlds together and really make Pittsburgh a better place. So that's why we're doing a double deep dive.
Well, because, you know, the other thing about Life's Work, and he'll jump in, but one of the things that really matters to me is we always talk about leaving people behind, right? You've got this technology and innovation and highly educated people.
Good point.
And when we think about leaving people behind, it's all kinds of people.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it isn't just like one particular neighborhood. So I'm thrilled to be able to do a dive with you on that.
Great.
Let's talk about
that. Right. But I think it'd be kind of cool if we just maybe started from a little bit of, I don't say square one, but just the idea of like, wait, you were the first leader of the Tech Council. And before we hit the record button, we're having a little comparison. Your 10 years with Audrey are very close.
I know. Between him, he and I. We've mostly run the Tech Council.
Exactly.
12 and a half years apiece.
So right.
We figured it's
almost
25 of the 36, 37 hour or years
exactly.
Of operation. So,
but it feels like hours because it's going by so quickly.
It's whipped by. For me, it's whipped by. I don't know if you recall it whipping by for you, but it's
whipped
for me.
Yeah, in many ways, it does feel that way. I guess I reflect on a couple of things.
Yeah.
One, I still, as you know, attend many of your events, breakfast briefings and open houses and various, and certainly the Tech 50, all of which I whenever I walk in there and see the crowds, I just feel very proud of what you're doing.
Aww.
In terms of expanding, extending, and continuing the effort on behalf of the region, really. But the other thing I notice is that I would walk around, and when I've been with a friend or two that go back those 30 years or more, he will say, I don't recognize anybody here. And I say, that is the mark of success.
Exactly. I love it.
Here it is. We're
so cool.
In a second, or maybe it's a third generation.
Right.
Many of them indigenous Pittsburghers that are into the entrepreneurial passion. But it's also people that we've brought here, and your efforts, particularly, Audrey, to bring folks here to Pittsburgh. It's just that is perhaps the most gratifying part of what I think about when I think about 36 years ago. And back in 36 years ago, in the 1984-85, we entered this idea. And some people say, God, it must have been tough and rough to start an organization, a technology organization in that environment. And I say, you know what, in many respects, we had it much easier than I think Audrey and her team.
Huh. Why's that? Yeah, why's that?
Because we had just come out of, barely, and perhaps in many cases we were still in it, the most devastating recession.
Very good point.
The rest of the country was in a recession. We were in a depression from 1981, 82, 83, and extending into the early years of the council. And we offered this bright, if many people, media and big business thought, unrealistic piece of hope.
Right.
That, you know, that maybe we could help change this landscape. So we had a lot, in the midst of a lot of skepticism, people would always say, Pittsburgh, high tech, it's a classic oxymoron. You know, it's like congressional.
Right. What could you possibly do?
Congressional insight or... You know,
congressional
jumbo shrimp. We were in those things as well. Pittsburgh high tech. It just seems so, unrealistic. But at the same time, And, you know, it was partly a reflection, if I should say, I don't know if I should say this, but it felt this way, of the desperation that this region felt when you go down the valleys and it was 20-25% unemployment.
Right. Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Listen, if you, we could talk about this forever, and we probably should do it on the anniversary in April of that year. We should probably do a deeper dive.
I like that idea, yeah.
Go out to YouTube and just look up the Pittsburgh Pivot, and you'll listen. Tim is in there, and a lot of the people who were the founders, and some of who have passed away since,
they talk about the conditions
of Pittsburgh.
That's an excellent suggestion. It's very, very
And important. It anchors our YouTube page, so just Google Pittsburgh Technology Council, and it's right there, very easy to find.
So now fast forward, you're leading an organization called LifeWork. So set the stage for us.
Okay. LifeWork is a human services agency that has been in the community and located for 70 of those 90 years in the uptown section of Pittsburgh, whose core mission and continuing mission remains finding ways to improve the quality of life for those individuals with disabilities, all manner of disabilities. And the way in which we do that, the platform that we use, is employment. Extending the opportunity to have a job, to be gainfully employed, both within our own workshop that we maintain and employ over 100 people directly, or in placing individuals in a variety of businesses throughout the region. We've had partnerships with well over 400 businesses over the years. And as you note, Jonathan, and which I'm very, very pleased with, is that increasingly we're building relationships directly with technology companies.
I love it. That makes me so happy.
One of our premier relationships is with Mitsubishi Electric Power Products.
You know those guys.
We had a 25-year relationship with them. But anyway, we're very pleased with that, and we're still vibrant and growing. And it's
You've actually paved the way for yet another medical school.
We have. We've recently sold our home.
It's big news, too.
That is
building.
Really
it's a 125,000 square foot building that we owned and built 50 years ago. We have sold it to Duquesne University. It's going to locate their newly announced or recently announced College of Osteopathic Medicine.
Exactly. So how cool is that?
We leave the – we're going to go to the south side.
Right.
We're going to be right in the midst
Continue doing your good work.
Another
just
tech
a,
thing.
But so you're renting a building as opposed to owning one.
That's exactly right. So it's a win-win-win for – win for the life's work. It's a win for Duquesne. But most importantly, it's a win for the region.
For sure.
It really is a win. I'm very excited
all
by
the way
it.
Around. This is why I'm so glad that we have another segment to hang out with Tim. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's so much for us to talk about. I really want to learn more about how LifeWork is working with the tech community to provide employment for all types of people. And to also just kind of maybe just a little more nerding out about some tech council lore, if you can fit a little bit of that in there as far as it is. So I'm going to encourage everyone to keep your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio, because we've got a lot more of Tim Parks coming up, a lot more with Audrey Russo, and of course me, Jonathan Kirsting. We're taking a quick break. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back to Tech Vibe Radio. So glad you're keeping your dial tuned right here. As promised, we are hanging out with Tim Parks from LifeWork. Not only LifeWork, but Tim is like literally like one of the forefathers of Pittsburgh technology and its industry. And for us, it's just always a charge to have him in the studio just to pick his insight and see what's going on. He always has such positive things to talk about and nerd out with us on all things Pittsburgh tech. And before we jump back into the LifeWork stuff, I'm just curious, like, I mean, with your experience, I mean, you've done so many things within tech. I mean, after the Tech Council with the PRA and with Morgan Lewis doing some really transformative work, what was it that made you interested in going to a place like LifeWork?
Well, actually, the Tech Council is really – and the tech industry is kind of responsible for me coming back to LifeWork. I was recruited in early 90s by what was then called the Vocational Rehabilitation Center to be on their board.
Okay.
Because one of
they knew who you were.
And they wanted to connect to what was becoming more evident at that time of a rising, more robust new economy, a technology economy. So I became, as I did for a number of other organizations, a conduit to sort of connect that.
Definitely. Right.
And so I served on the board in the early to late 90s, actually till 2001. I was the chair of the board of,
okay.
of what was then called VRC. And actually, I was responsible for helping to change the name from the Vocational Rehabilitation Center to Life's Work. And then I stepped off the board and continued, but kept an interest in the mission of the organization. And about 4 years ago, when they were seeking a CEO to come and, quite frankly, to help turn the organization around.
Oh, really? Okay.
They'd hit a fairly severe financial challenge and were facing a number. So I looked at it as an opportunity to get back into a role that actually I had enjoyed in the first years of the Tech Council, which was to run from an operating basis an organization. So that was the attraction, the mission, of course, but also the idea that I could also be a part of turning an organization around and bring sort of those entrepreneurial skills back to really bear.
Sounds like a good plan to me as far as that is. Yeah. So maybe, Tim, if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about the organization as far as like the types of services you provide, the types of work that your people are able to perform, and how they really become this additive, crucial part of these companies that they're working for. Because I think a lot of times people aren't realizing that there are folks out there that they don't quite fit in to where they would normally fit in the workplace, but through your assistance, you get them plugged in. So it not only helps the person who's now employed, but it also helps that company that's employing them because it's being additive to their culture.
Absolutely.
As well, too.
And I think you've touched on the key points is that clearly we've always been about helping to improve the quality of life for those individuals that are dealing with some form of disability.
Okay.
And it ranges from intellectual development to physical, et cetera. But what is a sort of our mantra is that finding purpose in life, which you can find oftentimes through your job, is so important. And in many cases, there's a disconnect between those individuals that are in have a disability and them being able to find a meaningful. So the way in which we help individuals is, we assess them. We get a sense of their interests, their capabilities, and so forth. And individuals can either work within our workshop, where we take in projects, can be electronic assembly or disassembly, can be light manufacturing, can be fulfillment, can be printing.
Right. Okay.
We have a multifaceted operation where our clients actually are employed. But what you're referring to is what I think is the next phase of this and the growth opportunity, where we take small groups of individuals who have the disability on site to companies where they work alongside
the other folks.
They're in a completely integrated, normal environment. But we provide job coach and we help the business. Find ways in which they can absorb and be comfortable with the opportunity to have these individuals on board.
So how many people have kind of gone through? It's got to be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people
We've been doing this employment support services in the community for 93 years, and our rough count is that we've touched the lives of over 100,000 individuals.
See, I was close. I was saying hundreds of thousands. Yeah.
Have programs that touch anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 individuals every year. So, you just do the math.
I'm in awe with it. I just think it's so fantastic that you're able to do this.
Well, as you pointed out, and I think it's important to underscore this, when you have individuals that have special capabilities or have disabilities working in that environment, as you'll see when you go to our website and see some of the vignettes of clients.
And what is the website? Lifeswork.org?
It's lifeswork.wpa.org.
There we go.
Have that WPA.
Right.
You'll find that these individuals come to these jobs with just such a great attitude. They just love being working.
They're probably so stoked.
They are. Right? They really are. And it feeds the rest of the company.
Exactly.
So many times the people that we're working with, the owners or the managers that we're working with in these businesses say, look, We almost think we ought to pay them double for what
my goodness.
For what, and they do get paid.
Of course.
This is all about a paycheck.
Right.
And it has.
And it's so empowering to the person because
they're
getting their own paycheck. It's not some sort of a subsidy or a handout or here's something
to
do. But it's like, no, you're actually earning your keep.
That's
you're being additive to somebody. You're adding creativity to something.
That's
all the way around. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it just works so well.
Right.
And what I'm really hoping is that you're able to reach out to more tech companies and expand. I mean, I'm talking any company I think is awesome, but I get my heart, my soft spot, of course, is with the tech companies.
Sure.
And I know a lot of our tech companies are out there. They probably want to say, how can we engage with
this? Well, I hope we can.
Yeah.
And as I've mentioned, some of the names that people may be familiar with.
Mitsubishi
Electric Power Products. We have a long and deep relationship with them. Eaton Corporation sends us lots of work. We go out to a company called Drabo America.
Drabo is a tool company
based down in the California Industrial Tech Park. And even an organization like the University of Pittsburgh with their e-waste recycling center.
Uh-huh.
They have a center out there in East Pittsburgh where all of the computers, the old computers and lab equipment and all that electronic stuff that needs to be disposed of, quite frankly, is disassembled.
Right.
We have a team that goes out there 3 days a week, four or five of our clients working side by
side with the people,
with the staff there. And, you know, they are contributing and getting a paycheck and building, as you say, that self-esteem and that sense of purpose. And it's very, very rewarding.
Definitely. So just a reminder, we're talking to Tim Parks with Life's Work and also former CEO of the Pittsburgh Tech Council here in Pittsburgh, PA. And I've had a couple guests on the show in the past where they've actually had some programs where they're working with people with autism to be programmers, because many people on the spectrum, they're highly focused, which is what you need for a lot of certain types of coding. Are you working in those areas?
We do. We do have a number of individuals, clients that are on the spectrum.
Okay.
And you speak very, you know, you've pointed out something that's a very interesting trend. And in fact, I saw some weeks ago, just recently, of a program that Microsoft and SAP jointly put together on a national basis specifically to recruit those that are in the autism spectrum.
Exactly.
Because of what you suggest is that they bring special talent
to this thing, right?
We need
highly focused people that can sit there and just really nerd out on something for a period
of
time.
Well, one of the challenges for Life's Work, and this is where our tech interest intersects, is that we're in a process now of thinking about what's next for our organization in terms of serving the market. And there's no way that we can't conceive that somehow or other marrying technology with those with disabilities and seeing how the two can feed each other mutually is, I think, going to be part of the equation that we'll
be dealing with.
Yeah.
So obviously big things are happening. You've got a new space opening up in the South Side, which is opening up new opportunities for you guys. So much kind of going on. And actually, we have a really cool feature. It's our TEQ magazine, which if you go to pghtech.org, you can check out. And I want to ask you, this is because of my own selfish interest. We've got a couple minutes left, but one of the things you did at the Tech Council early on was all about storytelling.
But
there's always a magazine. There's always a media channel at the Pittsburgh Technology Council, and we continue that today.
Sure do.
And I just want to pick your brain, like, why was it important back in the mid-80s to say, we got to start writing about these companies and these women and men who are building these companies?
Well, there's two reasons,
Jonathan,
and I think you'll appreciate both of them. One, when we started out, there were two employees. We had $38,000 in the bank and about 17 members. So that's where we started from. There was I had a philosophy, sort of a sales philosophy, that you have to look bigger than you are.
I love it, man.
You have to look like you are. And so we put a lot of investment in those early years. And I'm so gratified that you've continued the tradition of creating a regular and high-quality, sophisticated communications program in print. And now, of course, you've carried
radio and podcasting.
Now you've got multimedia.
That's right.
But it's always about sort of – but the other part of it, and I think you touched on it, is what was needed in those 80s, in the early 80s, it's needed as much today, was that people had to hear the stories of these companies, the stories of the entrepreneurs. And you know, because everyone is – fascinated by a story. I mean, you've got the Shark Tank kind of culture today.
Right.
You guys are your own Shark Tank here. And
I love it. I tell you what, we need to tell more of your story because you have a fascinating story. And I think Pittsburgh would not be doing what it's doing without the work that you've done over the years. And what you continue to do is just so transformative. And Tim, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us and just giving us your insight and learning more about how we can be integrated in with what life's work is up to.
Right.
Because, man, you're still kicking butt.
I appreciate it, John.
I think it's been so much fun.
It's a delight and an honor to be with you.
Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back. Audrey will be back with us as well. We're talking to Nina Barbuto from Assemble. Great, great stuff going on there. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Hey, even follow us on Twitter at pghtech. This is Jonathan Kirsting. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tech Vibe Radio on a Wednesday night. And Audrey, it's one of those moments. We have this. It happens to us quite often on Tech Vibe because we've developed quite the repertoire of guests over the years. I say one of our favorite has always been Nina Marie Barbuto.
Hi.
I just like saying it because you have like three names all to go.
Yeah.
From Assemble. And I'm just so glad you're here because before we hit the record button here, we're just talking about 9 years you've been doing this.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Changing a lot of lives. So just saying.
Yes.
Yeah, we knew you when.
I know. Before even Assemble was assembled.
I know.
Yeah, you were assembling Assemble.
Yeah,
I know.
When it was still Awesome Gallery.
I know.
Was that first
to,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I rode my little bike over to
Oh my gosh, that's so
Second
funny.
Avenue to meet with Kim.
Yes. You did.
Way back in the day.
Yes. In the day.
The beginning of our art and tech
isn't
work.
That cool?
Yes, isn't that great? Like, that's so great.
Almost a decade.
And so
later.
Now, a decade later,
yeah,
in hundreds of changed lives.
Assemblepgh.org.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, give us the pitch because you've really done a startup here. So
yes, I like to say that we are still in startup mode.
yes, so are we at the Tech Council.
Yes.
37 years.
Yeah, 37 years, we're still startup mode.
There's so much to get done. But Assemble is a community space for arts and technology, and we unite artists, makers, technologists, and learners to come create, learn, and transform together. So
exactly.
We envision diverse neighborhoods of people who do this in our space and beyond. So really applying their agency to their own world. And our mission is to build confidence through making by bringing all sorts of people together.
That's
it is. People don't have a lot of confidence about making, even though we talk about this sort of pervasive maker movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even with technology, making and technology, and we use all those terms because it's you'll probably identify at least in one of these categories, most likely learner, hopefully, which really means you're not stuck in the barriers that have been placed upon you and you can go further. But there's always within confidence, if you don't feel confident in anything, you can always move beyond. If you don't think that you can learn it, you're not going to.
Yeah. You just say
it is.
You're
gotta
giving
be
up
in
right
a constant
then
and there. State. You gotta be in a constant state of I like to say that it's great if you're interesting as a person, but what's more important is for you to be interested. And that's sort of what I look for in people.
I like that.
You know? It's great that you're cool, you've done a lot of things, you've seen the world, et cetera. But you and your work is really about facilitating people being interested.
There's so many, there's so many opportunities for doors to be shut on folks' interests and creativity. And creativity is no longer a dirty word.
Right.
But an imagination, right? And we all of us have the ability and the power. Our true power is within our creativity and our ability to speculate a future. When you have the support to actually do that and to bring your ideas into fruition, then you're able to continue that love of learning and life and making things better.
That's true. So talk about some of the programs you do for kids.
Oh, yeah. And we do have some for grown-ups, too, now.
Oh, I know.
That's what I love. You can be a kid as an adult.
Yeah. Well, you're the same person. You remember what your kindergarten teacher told you, right?
I'm just more crotchety at this point.
She made me wear a dunce cap.
Right.
A dunce cap.
Did that make you? Did that build your confidence, Audrey?
No, it made me a comedian.
It made her worse.
Just thought, this is hilarious.
And you overcame that adversity.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, that's hilarious.
So we do a lot of different programs throughout the school year. We have free after-school and Saturday programs, and we also have monthly programs such as our Unblurred Gallery Show. So every month we have an artist, maker, technologist showcase in our space, and they always have something that's interactive as to open up their creative process.
And your space is in Garfield.
Our space is in Garfield.
Absolutely, man.
And it's at 4824 Penn Avenue. We are in a wonderful building that is owned by Action Housing. Next to us is Silver Eye Gallery as well as Level Up Studios.
Yeah. Oh, Silver Eye used to be on the south side.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. That's great.
So
they moved to the cool part of town.
They actually did. So exactly. You can talk to David Oresic from Silver Eye and tell him.
Nice.
That
nice plug
knows.
There, man. Nice yeah. plug.
And Mario Quinn from Level Up. All great friends. Penn Avenue is Sesame Street. But getting back to what all
yes.
the things that we do. So right. Saturdays, we have our Saturday Crafternoons, which is one of our longest running programs. It's from 1 to 3, ages 5 to 10. And you can also stay with your kids if you want to. Or you could just drop them off and go shopping at Aldi. That's fine.
Is that a common occurrence?
Common occurrence. And then we have a teen program that happens on Saturday nights from 5 to 7 called Ooh. Hack the Future. And the teens get stipends for showing up because you got to pay teens to show up to things. And
down to cold hard bribery at this point.
But you know, if right. I was a smarter teen, I would have done that too.
Right. How about the allure of like a Spax pizza?
They definitely get fed.
Okay.
We have Spax. We love Spax. It is a little bit more expensive than Pizza Fiesta.
Oh, so okay.
And the kids are crazy about that Pizza Fiesta ranch sauce.
If they like the cheap stuff, keep feeding it to them.
They don't really care.
It brings them in. That's right.
Yeah.
Good.
And so they work on projects that are about like reimagining awesome. The future and everything else. And we've been working with other Tech Council members such as Karen Alexander from Pittsburgh 360.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also part of the VRAR or what I like to call rah-rah. And, and like doing projects with her, with our teens. And then we also have day camps for when there's no school. And we will definitely have some spring break day camps coming up for kids. So if you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with my children.
It's right around
no
the corner.
School.
Right.
Guess what? We got you.
Take them to Assemble.
Take them to Assemble. We also have summer camps, which is a whole
ball
beast.
Of life, right? Yes.
And we then also go into schools and we have programs at like Propel. And we have a program at Woodland Hills and Pittsburgh Public Schools.
How many kids have come through your program?
Oh my gosh.
Whether they're coming to you, you're coming to them. I know you've had such a positive impact on so many kids.
I love them all. But it makes me feel so old when kids come back and they're like, I just graduated grad school. And I'm like oh my God. And I'm like, or children come through and they've gone through puberty and I just stare at them and I'm like, you look so familiar, but so different.
I can't tell the difference between the beard and the tattoos.
Like, what? And then they're like, don't you remember I made this like bowling alley out of cardboard and LEDs? And I'm like, oh my God.
That's so awesome.
It's good that maybe I haven't changed in all these years.
Yes, back to the original part of the conversation.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's that immaturity that's pervasive. But you really took this on with your vision and have stood with it over the test of time. So while you are, quote unquote, a nonprofit, you've started something.
Yeah.
And you've been through the journey of what it's like to be an entrepreneur. So any tidbits of wisdom?
For anyone who's interested in starting something new, make all the mistakes early. There's a joy within that naivete of like, let's just try this. But I would also say just be prepared to not sleep for a long time. Because
it's like parenting.
It is parenting. Like, I think of Assemble as my child. I don't have any children. I have many children, actually.
You have many children.
I don't have any biological children.
Right. You still have children.
But I have many. Every day we are doing homework together, children, and I'm feeding them and making sure that they cross the street.
She sounds just like a mom right there. I'm just going to say it. I love it.
We do say that. I'm momming people sometimes. But Assemble, I think of as a teenager right now. So, like, in this weird, awkward phase of, like, formalizing itself.
Right, exactly.
Some really exciting big things that we did this year was hire more full-time staff.
Right. You have like 7 people working
for you now. Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you guys
started with literally
It was
nothing.
You. It was you.
We were paying the rent with our beer money.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, sometimes by any means necessary, but you have to take that on yourself, accept your choices. And we have 7 full-time staff, and as of January 1, we were able to provide health care for our 7 full-time staff.
Oh, that's so awesome. How cool is that? So we've got a couple minutes left. It's right around the corner. I mean, it's going to be right around the corner because time's moving so quickly, but the Maker Date stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that. This is a cool event, and we want to give you some love on this.
So Maker Date is our, let's say, biannual big fundraiser because there's been a few years that we've had to take off. But it is a twist on the date auction where someone's on stage and you're, instead of saying, like, oh, I'm attracted to you, I want to eat dinner with you, and I want to support this charity, which is a very weird experience and very awkward. It's more like a play date, but for grown-ups, where they get to learn how to make something with someone else. So imagine a sculptor on stage and you're bidding to spend time to learn how to weld and spend time building things or make a computer program.
So you're buying an experience with somebody cool.
Yeah, it's like being like, hey, I want to hang out with you for the day. We're going to make something together. And so you're opening up the creative process as well as building new connections.
Right.
So it goes back to our mission. And it helps us to really support our programs, again, which many are free.
But someone's got to pay for the construction paper and the LEDs.
And the teacher time.
And the teacher time,
because we want to make sure that as an employer, we're not – and as, like, an institution that's trying to, like, fight poverty or, like, not keep people in poverty, that we're not keeping – our educators in that space,
exactly
too.
Exactly right.
Speaking about that, we are, I know that it's not maybe a lot of time, but we're trying to create this really exciting fellowship for people who are interested in getting in the out-of-school time tech art learning world. And it's called Ramp Up. And if anyone's ever interested, let me know. I will say it's for 18 to 24-year-olds and for people who are looking for that path, right? And how do I get back involved in all these different things?
Very cool.
So people can contribute to assemblepgh.org at any time.
Yes.
It's not just in cadence with this event.
No.
So I'm reaching out to all of you.
Good point, Audrey. Good point.
Look at this, their website, understand what Nina has been working on and building, and seeing what she's doing in a neighborhood like Garfield to keep the community knit together with the kind of assets that any community should and could have. So thank you for your leadership.
Absolutely.
And any of you, you can contribute to them online.
And if you want to also come and share expertise.
Right.
And
if you have expertise that you think you'd like to sell or share on behalf of the work of Assemble, go to assemblepgh.org.
Another quick shout out of a friend and example who came to share their expertise was Hank Wild from Panacea AG. And he came and did multiple workshops with our kids talking about their greenhouses and everything that they do. So
awesome
you can
stuff.
Do something as fun as that. Or, I mean, we always need support in many different ways.
For sure. Audrey, we could not end the show on a more positive note than hanging out with Nina from Assemble. We're wrapping this thing up. We'll see you next Wednesday. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org.